Blog Talk Radio. Okay, let's play some music.
Thank you.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, I hope you all enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Amen. Amen. No, Kosovo, you're not blocked. We can see you. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, tonight's sermon is the God of all encouragement. Do you ever get discouraged? Don't answer that question, because I know the answer before you even answer. Of course you do. Because you are human. And I want to tell you what to do with discouragement today. Actually, I want to talk to you on the subject of encouragement, and the God of all encouragement is going to be the title of our message. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 10 verses. And in those first 10 verses, you will see the word encouragement used 10 times. In the King James Version of the Bible, you will not even see the word encouragement, but it is there. It's translated several times with the word comfort, and it's translated several times with consolation. But I want you to know that the comfort, the word comfort as it is used here, and the word consolation, which is the same word just translated differently by the King James translator, is the word. I suppose that the most common application should be encouragement. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God in Corinth, gave with all things which are in Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, that is encouragement, who comforts us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort with which we are ourselves comforted of God. Already he used the word five times for the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation is the same word here. Our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. For whether we be afflicted, it is your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted. There's our word again. It is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, ye shall also be your consolation. For we would not be brethren, you have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of a measure above strength and so much that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God which raises the dead, who delivers us from such a great death and do us deliver, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. There is much in these 10 verses, and we're going to be exceedingly brief because we are going to have together the wonderful love feast, the Lord's Supper. But there are three thoughts I want to lay on your heart. But let me say, by the way of introduction, that encouragement is something that we all need, and thank God it's something that God has promised to every one of us when God made us. God made sure here we could not and should not stand alone. And then God gave us strength, the encouragement, the comfort that he wants us to have. As a matter of fact, the same word that is translated for comfort is the word that God has used to describe the Holy Spirit. He is also called the Comforter. It's the same word. And the word comfort, the word consolation, the word encouragement does not mean pity. It may have some pity in it, and it may be caused by pity, but it's not mere pity, not mere sympathy. Again, that may weaken you rather than help you if that's all you get is sympathy and pity. We all like sympathy, we all like pity, but the word comfort, even our English word comfort, means it is of two compositions of the words, come and for, which literally means with strength. And the Greek word comfort that we are saying means consolation, okay, or encouragement. It literally means something or in someone that is called alongside of you to help you, to strengthen you and assist you. So what the real encouragement does, it does more than sympathize. It literally strengthens you. It literally gives you the power to face whatever you're going through. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is something that we all need and something to thank God that God has provided for every one of us. There are three simple rule of thoughts I want you to notice tonight before we have the Lord's Supper together. First of all, I want you to notice the source of all suffering. Look in verse 3. The Apostle Paul said, "Blessed be God." You can just tell he is so happy in the Lord. So blessed be even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I want you to know that God has cornered the market on comfort. He has cornered the market on comfort. He's the God of all comfort. He is the God of all consolation. He is the God of all encouragement. So that tells me that encouragement comes from God and discouragement comes from the devil. If you are discouraged tonight about anything, I want you to know that the devil is on your trail. And you have a way that the devil can get to you is if you don't do something about the discouragement. There's an ancient fable that tells us about the devil's auctioning off his tools. He had different tools just like lust, envy, jealousy, pride, and so forth. But there was one tool that he had a very high price on. Such a high price that no one could afford it. And the devil said, "I really don't want to sell it anyway because that's my favorite tool." It was a worn tool. And this make-believe story, somebody said, "Well, what is that tool?" And he said, "Well, that tool is discouragement. I use that tool to pry open a life, and when I pry open a life with discouragement, I can get inside and do all kinds of other damage with my other tools." So that is true, although that's only a parable, only a story, but it's so true that the devil uses discouragement. I suppose perhaps as much or more than any other thing to damage our lives and weaken us. All comfort and encouragement and consolation is from God. All discouragement, therefore, is from the devil. You say, "Wait a minute, all encouragement is not from God. I have a friend that encourages me." Yes, but the only way that he can encourage you is to take encouragement that God gave him and pass it on to you. He was just a middleman. Notice again, he's the God of all comfort. In verse 3, the Bible says that he comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort we're with ourselves are comforted of God. So where do we get it? From God. So we just pass it on. I don't care whether somebody else encourages you or not. All encouragement, all consolation, it comes from God. No, you say, "Well, I get consolation in other things," but not real consolation. You see, all the consolation, all the encouragement is ultimately going to fail you. You turn to philosophy. Dr. Louis said philosophy was a chunk of cloud bank. Butter was the night wind. You turn to philosophy to try to get comfort out of philosophy. Try to get encouragement out of philosophy, and you're going to find out what H.G. Wells said. He said, unless there is more abundant life before mankind, this scheme of a day to time is a bad joke, an empty laugh, braining across the mysteries. Almost every philosopher without Christ turns into a pessimist. Why? Because he thinks this is dull and just understands that really without God there is just no hope. There's an animal known as a lemming. Have you ever heard of a lemming? A lemming is in some way he gets this mad idea in his head that he has to run to the sea, and they do it in packs and groves. These little animals, about so long, begin to head toward the sea. What drives them to do this, nobody seems to know. But they run over mountains, add rivers, and through the marsh to reach the sea. And when they reach the sea, they just plunge in headlong and drown. How would you like to be a lemming? I mean, that's their goal, like to reach the sea and drown themselves. Every philosopher realized that mankind is just headed towards the grave in some way of lemming is headed towards the sea. And unless there is something else, there is no comfort in philosophy. There is no comfort in unbelief. not knowing our Lord. I heard one time about a little girl raised in an atheist family, and the atheist had taught her all this time that there was no God. And then she came to die, and her father and mother were telling her, this little girl who was sick, they were trying to give her encouragement. They were trying to comfort their dying daughter, and they didn't believe in God. And she didn't believe in God. But the father was by her side saying, sweetheart, it won't be long. Just hold on. Daddy loves you. It won't be long. Just hold on. She said, Daddy, if you tell me to hold on, but there's nothing to hold on to. That's so true. If you don't know the Lord, where is this encouragement? It's not even in religion apart from Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you still don't have the consolation. This encouragement, I will tell you why. I'll tell you why Jesus Christ is different from all other religious leaders. You can take Buddha out of Buddhism, and you still have Buddhism. You can take Confucius out of Confucianism, and you still have Confucianism. You can take Muhammad out of Islam, and still have the Islamic religion. But you can't take Jesus Christ out of Christianity, and you still have Christianity. You see, Christianity is Christ as it infuses you and gives you this comfort. This comfort, this consolation is complete because it comes from God, and it's continuous. So look at verse 4. The Bible says, who comforted us? Actually, this is a present tense, and it means that it is continuous. The encouragement just comes like a river. It never stops flowing. It comes from the bosom of God, and God is the source of all true encouragement. Who are the subjects? Look again at verse 4. The Bible says he comforted us. Well, who wrote this? The Apostle Paul. Did Paul need to be comforted? Did Paul need encouragement? Look in verse 8. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which come to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of a measure above strength in so much that we despaired even of life. You know, I like that verse 8. I'll tell you why I like verse 8. Verse 8 tells me that if I ever get discouraged, I'm in good company. I mean, we don't have to go around sometimes wearing a mask and pretending that we never get discouraged. I think it's human to get discouraged. You can read the history of the church and you can find out some of God's greatest leaders really got discouraged. You know every. And then I feel like I can sit on the curb and dangle my feet. I can get that low. Now, not very often, I don't get that discouraged very often. As a matter of fact, I tried to think when I was thinking about this message, times when I have been discouraged, and I thought of several times, three times particularly, when I have really, truly been discouraged. I'm not going to tell you what they are and what they were, but three times in my life when I was really discouraged, and all these three times I went to the Lord, and all three times he was the God of all consolation. The God of all comfort. That doesn't mean I've only been discouraged three times in my life, but as I told you, I run in kind of a narrow band. I don't get too high and I don't get too low. But if I ever do get discouraged, you can be sure that it's genuine discouragement. But I'm in good company. Here's the Apostle Paul. Paul said, we were pressed down. He said, I despaired even of life. It was beyond measure. It was beyond my strength. I read the biography of Spurgeon, or read parts of his biography. Spurgeon jotted up, you know, the greatest Baptist preacher that ever lived, I believe. Spurgeon got up and said, I pray to God, he said to this congregation, that none of you ever know the depth of discouragement that I go through. He said, I pray to God that none of you, and he's talking to his congregation, he was a man that got so low, I'll tell you somebody else that got discouraged was Martin Luther. Martin Luther one time got so discouraged that he got in his study, he got in his house, he began to mope around, he lost his zest for life. He became so disconsolate. Okay, his wife tried to speak to him and didn't seem to be able to help him. So she decided she would shock him. She put on a black dress and a black veil and gloves, that would wear to a funeral and came to the room where he was. Her name was Catherine. He called her Katrinka. And he said, why Katrinka? Who has died? Oh, she said, Martin, haven't you heard? God has. He said, Katrinka, that's blasphemy. She said, husband, is blasphemy for you to be living as God is dead? Amen. It snapped him out of it. He realized that God is the God of all consolation and he is not dead. Martin Luther did get discouraged. The Apostle Paul got discouraged. And if you would be honest, you'd have to admit it from time to time that we get discouraged, because the Apostle Paul says that God is the God who comforts us. He mentions in all of our tribulations, and what is this tribulation he's talking about? Well, this word tribulation means under pressure. Well, why does God allow that? Obviously, God can keep us from being under pressure if he wanted to, but God doesn't take the pressure off. As a matter of fact, God engineers the pressure. God brings the pressure around. Why? To make God more real to you, to make God real to you. You may think, I wish that Jesus Christ were real to me. Well, look at verse 5 then. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. Abounding suffering, abounding consolation. Andrea Couch wrote a song, and he said this in that song, and the title of the song you've heard many times, Through It All. He said, I thank God for the valleys, I thank God for the mountains. I thank God for every storm he's brought me through. If I never had a problem, I would never know God could solve them. I would never know what faith in God could do. You see, Jesus said, blessed are the mourn, they shall be comforted. No mourning, no comforting. No tribulation, no consolation. Okay, if you want Jesus to be real to you, I don't know any way that Jesus can be more real to you than when you find the rod and the staff sufficient when you are in a dark valley. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He spoke of the Lord being with him. And with him in still waters and green valleys, and he spoke about the Lord. But later on the 23rd Psalm, when he got into the valley of the shadow of death, he did not say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's not talking about the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. I'll tell you something. You can get in a service like this and take notes in your Bible that talk about the Lord, but you get in difficulty. You start talking to the Lord, and he will become real to you. You get in that dark valley, and when God's rod and God's staff begins to comfort you, God will be real to you. Someone wrote these words, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and in a word, she says, she, but oh, the things I learned from the world when sorrow walked with me. Well, the subject of this consolation, God allows us. He allowed the Apostle Paul to be pressed down, to be weighted down. A great man of God, that there was no way except to turn to God and say, God, if you don't help me, I won't be helped. But the third and final thing I want to say tonight, not only the source of it, not only the subject of it, but think of the stewardship of it. Go back to verse 4 and look again. The Bible says God does this. God comforts us in all of our tribulations. That this is a purpose clause in order that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort which we ourselves are comforted of God. We are blessed that we might be a blessing. We receive a consolation that we might give consolation. We are encouraged that we might encourage others. We are to be a point of transfer. To some people, tribulation is a prison. Other people rise above that, and for them, tribulation is a hospital, and they hope to get it well. But tribulation is supposed to be a seminary where you learn and you become steward of your suffering so that you can pass them on to others. In verse 5, for all the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounded by Christ. The word abound here means to overflow. You live to be, your life is to be overflowing with the life of Jesus Christ. It is to abound in you. You're to be everywhere you go a source of comfort and a source of strength. If you live a sheltered life, you will never be a lesson to those around you. Okay? Jesus is touched with the feelings of your infirmity. Why? Because he also suffered. I can go to Jesus when I suffer. I know Jesus understands because he suffered. Or he was touched in all points like as I am. Jesus did not have to suffer, to know how I feel because he is omniscient. He knew everything before he came. He didn't have to come to earth to know how I feel, but he came to earth so that I might know that he knows. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, he went through it, and I can say when I suffered, Jesus was there, and that's the reason why I come to him and he blesses me. The same thing is true in your life. Your life is going to overflow with encouragement to other people. If you learn how to suffer, you've learned to overcome. Broken, a broken heart, listen to me. The ability to help other people is a broken heart is more needed than the ability to give great sums of money. And the thing is, Jerry, you can teach what some of them are able to teach. There is a commodity known as a broken heart. A person who has received comfort from the Lord. What kind of person is such a needed commodity in this church? Maybe God cannot trust some people with suffering. But God trusts other people, and the Bible says that God does it, that it might be recipients of that comfort, and that we might be appointed transfer. So let me tell you something. It's not a compliment to you that other people do not come to you with problems. Men don't go to empty well to draw water. But if you have been touched and broken, and you have been comforted of the Lord, then God is going to use that to bless other people. Amen. Well, I hope you liked this sermon on encouragement. Okay? If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you will get a chance to in just a moment. Well, let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road and never knowing which way to go, which way is up or down? Or maybe you lack purpose in life. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something more worse, such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, gambling or overeating. Whatever the problem may be, God can take it away. But in order for you to do so, he has to know you. If he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So, with that being said, if you really want to get to know Jesus as your personal Savior, say this simple prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and that I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. And I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And once again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Well, did you pray and receive Christ? I hope so. Okay, and if you did, I want you to call in to Erico 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is Erico 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live and let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, if you just said this prayer, we want to welcome you to the family of the Lord, and we want to say amen. The Lord bless you, and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. buddy. Area code 843.
Hello, it's been a while since I called in. How are
you
doing?
Yes, it has.
Everything's doing well.
That's good to hear. I've been praying for you.
You've been talking a lot. Do you usually let people on?
Yeah, I let people on.
Well, you've got like 34 minutes left. I do not want to sound disrespectful, but I am starting to lose interest in this show. I am not to mean in a bad way, but this show needs more interaction.
Well, I normally do is I do a praise and worship service in the beginning. Okay, and then I go into the message. Sometimes the message goes longer than some messages. Okay, some messages are shorter, okay, than others, and I don't talk as much. Okay, but tonight I wanted to get a good message out. Okay, so, okay, about encouragement. Okay, because everybody needs encouragement.
Yes, everyone needs encouragement. You can at least do one small Bible verse and let the Lord onto you.
Oh, I did. I did 10 verses.
10 verses?
I did 10 verses. Yes, I sure did. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10.
All right, I think I've had enough for tonight. Thank you.
Okay, God bless.
Yes.
All right. Hello, 111, you're on the air. Okay, 111 hung up. Okay. Hey, hello, Doug, how you doing? Doug,
good, Ted.
There?
How are you doing?
All right, I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good. Hey, that last caller, he was a great caller, huh?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, we got callers.
Yeah, he was a great caller, that last one. You guys think I'm bad? Come on. Wow. Okay, that's all I got to say.
Okay, Doug. I love you, brother.
Yeah, take it easy.
You too. Okay. Well, that's all the callers for tonight. Okay, so anyway.
You need to throw the spammer out.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah. I think he's gone. He's no longer in here.
Yeah, I asked everybody to ignore him.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Pastor Wanda's here. Let's bring on Pastor Wanda. Hello, Pastor Wanda.
I know the spirits, because the phone won't ring on that. Yeah. I know the spirits of the phone.
Okay. Pastor Wanda seems to drop. I don't know. Oh, here she is, back again. Okay.
Praise the Lord, brother. Hey, brother. I'm so glad to hear you. I apologize. Listen, I don't know what's going on down here, but I know, and I plead the blood of Jesus. How everybody doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Hello? How are you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Listen, now, this is the funniest thing. You know, no big blessings are coming. Now, I said I'm coming on the radio. Do you know when I call the radio? Listen to this. The number is locked in. It wouldn't call out. It wouldn't even start a dial tone, okay? Then next thing I know, I hear people talking on the line. Ain't nobody, the radio station is not there yet. You know, you're not on air. I said, now I know this is spiritual, but I thank you. I've been thanking God. Do you know I just got in the call? Just got in. From last week, week before. I didn't call Monday all. I even called you on your main number and been leaving messages. I don't even know if you've been getting them.
I haven't received any messages, no.
I've been calling right here. If you wasn't here and see my phone, I'm going to get somebody to screenshot my phone and send it to you. But he got, by the grace and mercy of God, God be the glory, I got on.
Amen.
Amazing.
Amen.
I know it because I know I got this number locked in my phone. No other number. And I called. It's like somebody was just having a whole conversation. And I'm sorry, it didn't say blog talk or anything. But I thank God. So how's my brother? Hello?
Say what?
How's my brother doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Staying away from people. This COVID is something else.
Well, I've been had to pray for a lot of people, and God has been sending me different places. And even down here in Atlanta, I prayed before I go out, bless in and bless out, do Romans 28, and then I pray Psalm 91, and I ask God to keep me covered. But he's been sending transportation, but I don't have to get out. I just wander and keep going. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother. You know, that is a command God tell us to see by the homeless, okay? The orphan, the outcast, the poor, the needy, widows, orphan, the sick. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do, the house of the church. The church, we the church, okay? Do you know I'm just finding out that they telling me, they didn't tell me. I was on the internet last night. And they say you have to have a permit to feed the homeless. Blew my ear last night. Somebody told me something about it about 2 years. Do you know they say they're warning you and they say no, they're fine and they'll lock you up. But then the Holy Spirit quickened me about they locked up a 92-year-old man in Florida. I think it was last year. And locked this man up, 92 years old, because he fed some homeless people.
Oh,
have you heard that?
Somebody wants to talk with you. His name is Cobra Jeff. Let me bring him on. Okay.
Yeah, bring him on. Hey, Kenny, how's it going tonight?
All right. How you doing, Cobra Jeff?
Not too bad. I've missed the past couple shows you've done, and I thought I'd tune in tonight. I'm glad I did. Now, I haven't been around much. Who's this pastor?
Who's what, sir?
Hey, what?
Who's this on the line right here?
It's Pastor Wanda.
I'm Pastor Wanda?
Yes, sir.
Now, I've never heard you before. You sound really amazing here, and I'd like to learn a little bit about you.
Help me out. I've been with Pastor Ken. Some things have happened. I do women's segment, Women of God, Those of King. I've been on there with Pastor's Corner when he was with God's Way. So it's a blessing speaking with you.
Well, I'm glad, you know, you said that. You know, one of my things I love to do in my spare time is I'm really big into helping the homeless.
Yes, sir.
I've been trying to make myself a better person. Unfortunately, I kind of have a dark background, and I've been trying to do things to better myself. And one of the things I've been doing is I've been trying to get GoFundMes and any donations I can get for a fellow community member named Grover, Grover Washington.
Yeah.
He's actually a homeless man from San Antonio, and he's had a really, really rough life. And it's just a shame because there's other community members that are not willing to help him. I'm not going to say any names, but you may know him
really
very well.
But see, listen. See, reason I don't do it just because I'm a pastor. I plead the blood of Jesus. Well, I had to go through homeless as 10 years old, sir. I had to see my mother get killed, okay? And no one would help. I moved from here, young, and there. And some things happened, but for God be the glory that all this happened to serve for God's purpose now. So, and then when me and Pastor, my brother Pastor Ken, I had never met Pastor. Okay. I just lost a child. Now, this was 5 years ago, and I was in the house of the Lord, okay? I was there 14 years, 365 days. I was 103 people, 10,000 steps, raised up disciples, right in the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15. Prepare the meals, pray over the meals, make sure they have Bibles, blankets, and that's what God called me for, because if the thing, just like you say, your dark past, don't look at your past. Look what God got you now. So he has placed that in you. Whatever's in God's heart is going to place it in your heart, okay? So you're doing what God is now. I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're doing Isaiah. You have a Bible?
Yes, I do.
And okay, go to Isaiah 58:6-8, and I'll show you what the word of God says. For many people, he said, is this not the fast I've chosen, loose the bonds of wicked, to undo the heavy burden, to let the press go free? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? That is the fast. Many people think the fast is staying for food. That is the spiritual fast that is commanded. God says, the homeless is our neighbor. Okay? Many people, they look down. First and foremost, they go in James, and God tell you about the people with the pale. How they would treat somebody with the finer clothes, the richer clothes, better than the one with the regular clothes, okay? So he says better for the ones with the regular clothes to be sitting up, because he's supposed to build that person back up to that natural state. If you're strong in faith in God and you know where you have been, okay, I don't care what now, who you are, all of us have a soul, and some have been hurt to the point. And God says in Psalm 51, he loved the fresh spirit. Wait a minute, hold on, wait a minute. Hold on, wait a minute. Got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, little hold me. Thank you, Daddy. The broken heart and fresh spirit, okay? That's
okay.
The one he's looking for, the ones that sick. All, let me tell you one other thing. I had to speak the other day on about the homeless. First and foremost, you don't know why that person in that predicament. It's not all the time. Most of you try to drugs. No. I have seen millionaires under there and minister too. And they walked away from everything because they have been hurt. Okay? Different people take different hurt, pain a different way. This person lost their husband, his wife. He was a pilot. I'm not calling other people names because I don't never want to put God's people out. And the doctors was under there. A millionaires, psychiatrists. It was so many. A lot of veterans. And when you sit down and have a conversation, okay, when you go under the highways and byways in Luke 19:10. You will meet certain people, and then we'll break your heart because he used to break my heart constantly. And God kept sending me out. So when he sent me out, people were like, oh, I can't be around that. First and foremost, it could be you. God came in to say, it's a lot of mercy on all our lives. So God send you back to the ones that he's calling, okay, to bring back to the sheepfold, to feed them back. He send you out to bring them back, to feed them, because you don't know if it's your last meal or it's their last meal. But that's what Jesus came. He came to seek and save which is lost. Seek and save his lost. Now, he didn't say, I'm seeking and save. They already found. He's saving who's lost. Homeless, the person cast, it all walks. See, and then when you look at what Jesus did, the walk he done, and a person said it with Jesus, you'll understand a lot of things. Just like the one bound. He said he came to set the captivity free, Isaiah 61. The good news is Jesus, because he came to set the captivity. Some are bound, some are brokenhearted, crushed spirit, rejected, hated a whole bunch. And they, some don't know who they are. You're doing what God called you, okay? And don't matter who don't help you. Now, I'm going to tell you.
I don't want to. Rhonda, I'm sorry. I don't want to take up more callers' times, but I just really quick wanted to finish my story about I'm sorry. I know there's other callers, and I don't want to hog the air or anything like that.
You
know, what I wanted to speak was, you know, like I was saying, that I was helping out the homeless. And, Kenny, I know you're listening, so I know we talked about this in the past. I actually brought this member. This member's name is Grover Washington. I brought him up to New York for the holidays because I did not want him to spend the holidays alone or be in need. So I brought him up to New York where I live. And I fed him. I clothed him. You know, I tried to get him on the path of God. But
yes, right.
Everything was going good for the first week until I started finding things missing, and I didn't want to jump to conclusions, but, you know, money was missing. Money was missing. I went through two cell phones. Two of my brand new iPhones went missing, and
yes,
I didn't want to jump to conclusions about Grover taking them, even though I figured he did. You know, I still, you know, wanted to have an open heart to him and understand that he was less fortunate. You know, at the time, I realized he did it. The last straw was when I actually came home from work one day, and I found Grover in bed with my girlfriend. And I found the man Grover in bed with my girlfriend. And that kind of the last straw. Now, my question to you is, like I said, I tried to help this man out.
Yes, sir.
Does it make me a bad person that I cast him out into the cold and I cast him out with nothing?
No. You didn't cast him out. First of all, listen to me. You did everything you're supposed to have done. Okay? First of all, you can't let people come in. God said if a strong man, that means not like strong fighting. You can't let somebody come in and just take everything out of your house and be violated. Okay? You see, I can go to any house. When I was homeless, I can go to any house, and this stuff was there. If you did this, you have to go. Now, this happened to me. I talked to Pastor Ken on different things. They know who I am, and I know who I am. They know, and they know who told me. I gave them rules. Do not take anything. Everything belongs to God. You did everything possible to help and assist him. Okay? You're not wrong.
Absolutely.
So the only thing you got to do is ask God to bless and have mercy, and that's it. Okay? You didn't judge him. You said, I didn't know. You had to see, but God had to reveal the character. Now, listen, it's not the person. He said we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places. Okay? He still is bound. He needs deliverance from certain things. Okay? You did right, because you had to protect your home. Certain things.
Well,
now, I'm doing a study right now not to buy certain people come in my house. Okay?
Yep.
Certain spirits. So that's a taking spirit right there. Okay? You can have a manipulating spirit. So you got to ask the Lord, is this what you want me to do? I said, Lord, because he's my master, can I help this person? Okay? And the Holy Spirit will quicken you and let you know. You're not wrong, sir. Okay.
I'm glad to hear you say that. You know, because Grover was, you know, when I kicked him out, he was pulling the race card because Grover is an African American and I'm white.
It don't matter about no color. Listen, don't matter about no color.
I know it doesn't matter, but you know, when people are called out on things, they put up a defense mechanism, and that was his. And you know, Grover almost cost.
First of all, listen, I'm a black African American lady. Now I just had white, black. Every walk of life, color God placed in my life, and I was over a ministry. When someone wanted to do this, wanted to bring drugs in the house, I did all kinds of stuff. I had to give him a chance.
Well, that's the other problem, though. Grover took the drugs from my house. That's the biggest problem that I have with Grover.
Okay.
How do I handle this?
What you do is pray. See, you got to pray. See, you got to sit in the presence of God. Sit and ask. See, when you're doing, you got to empty yourself. That means empty the flesh for the spirit to be full, so God can reveal discernment. He will give you a spirit of discernment. That's the first gift He would like to give you, and that can you can find that in Proverbs, okay? And He tells you, okay? So you just got to just take your time. Sometimes we can help, and sometimes we can hinder. Right? So that's why I have to be very selective.
I felt bad because I didn't want to feel, you know, racist, or I feel like, you know, I let him down.
Listen.
So he kept.
You're not racist.
Listen,
man. If you listen, stop it. The enemy. Listen now. You got to renew your mind every day. First and foremost, who comes in the mind? Satan tries to play tricks in the mind. That's why we renew our minds. Romans 12, 1 and 2. First of all, you did what the Lord to God said. Lord God said that was a choice for him to not pick up anything that didn't belong to him. That is your house that God gave you, and you was showing hospitality. Now, I didn't have to tell people they got to go. Listen now, I'm going to give you a promise now. I brought somebody in my house with five kids.
Hey, Kenny.
Now,
I'm sorry, Wanda. Hold one second. Kenny, are you there, Ken?
Yeah.
Ken, why don't you go ahead and put me on mute? Like I said, I appreciate the airtime, and I appreciate you taking my call and everything. Why don't we get a few more callers on? I just, like I said, I want to be open-minded. I want other people to get on. I apologize for taking up so much time. I just wanted to say my piece and everything. If you could take some more calls, but Kenny, can you keep me on the line if possible?
Yeah, I can do that.
You're fine.
Thanks,
brother. Ben. Forgive yourself.
Okay.
Don't let
me bring
so
up 786. Okay, he's been waiting for quite a bit of time. Okay?
Thanks.
786, you're on the air.
Yo, what's up? Hey,
what's
this
up?
My mom, Wanda.
This, huh?
Hey, Mom, how you doing?
Who am I speaking with?
This is your son.
I have many sons.
Yeah, I'm your son. How you doing, Mom?
I'm blessed and highly favored, rejoicing in the Lord. Nehemiah 18, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Me too, Mama. I'm blessed and highly flavored. Tastes like purple drink.
Stop it. First of all, Satan is a liar. Okay, and I don't want to call forth God. See, I ask God for mercy. See, he said, in Psalm 105:15, trust not my anointed, my prophets, no harm. I bind anything that comes up and set itself against the knowledge of God in Jesus' name. I don't do foolishness.
Yeah.
I don't do foolishness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
No, I got to give him thanks. See, thank you, Jesus. See, they'll be accounted for that. I don't have to. See, Ken, I ain't going to argue with nobody. It's 2020. It's 2021, I meant. And I made a vow to God. Another vow. Every time I have to keep making a vow, I can do that. Because only he keeps me. I know too much about God, and God's going to fight every one of my battles. Exodus 14:14. I can bring the scripture to back anything comes up against me. Because it's not against me.
Really,
it's the God
son,
that's in
Wanda?
Me.
Hello?
Wanda,
hello?
That wasn't your son, right? Hello?
No, sir.
I didn't ask that way to your son. I'm just making sure. You know, we had a good chat.
No, sir. When you hear my son, when you hear him, they'll say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. They desire, hold on for the tape, that spirit just got on there. Okay? That spirit desires to have a mother. Okay? So I'm not going to war with him because he's in a no-win battle. I already have victory. God showed me in 1 Corinthians 15:56-57. See, I have three kings. I don't have sons. Okay? You can't say that. All my sons are grown. And they call me by certain, I'll talk to you in another time. There is a certain name. I got many sons from all over black, white, yellow, brown, green. Okay? All walks. Okay? So I have assignment. I got a big assignment that God have given me today. And so I've been sitting in the presence of God, and I ask for the Shekinah glory. For God to get Shekinah out of my life, and I'm past my test. That was a test. See? I greeted him. But behind, then I got to rebuke or open rebuke to you because I know you're not sent by God. Mm. So they want to be in the sheepfold, but they want to imitate. That's like a chameleon, okay? See, God's going to take care of that. When he in his sleeping slumber, God's going to reveal everything what he just done. See, I know this. So we see things and we dream, and I'm still talk nice and kind. I'm going to still give God glory. I will not let a person hear anything else because God has been talking to many of his people, and we're doing a segment on character, your character. I represent God. That's kingdom business. That's what is the ministry, but I come into I Am. That's the name of the church and the house of the Lord that he has given me and the line of Judah. God takes care of all my enemies. I don't have any. Okay. He'll be accounted for every word he just got on open air. And God, and he had me looking at markers. You know, that's to intimidate. See, everything, God didn't prepare me to get on this radio station. So I'm coming on here to give glory to God, not to talk foolish. Okay? But it's a blessing speaking with you, my brother.
Thank you, Wanda, so much. You have a wonderful night, and hopefully I can get to see
you, have a
you again. It was a joy. It was an
absolute
pleasure.
You have a blessed and a prosperous night. That God keep his mighty righteous right hand. I cover you, your house, and everything that God have prepared for you to do in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you, Wanda.
Now, Pastor Ken, we're going to try this. Okay, Pastor Ken, the Lord, my master, many people might not think of a different Lord. But listen, this is what God did. I got something to talk to you about, but we can't talk on air, okay? We can't talk on air. But God opened the doors to give me 4 free phones. They had to credit me money. I told them I could not get on my phone for 2 weeks, Pastor. I could get on one, but the oven cracked. So they told me they can upgrade me to and give me 2 free phones. Because I told them I was supposed to be speaking on the word of God. This happened today. They emailed me. And then I had to do something with Homeland Security. Then the election. Now I'm worrying about all this chaos in Washington, D.C. We got Amber Alerts of kids are missing. And I don't have time for foolish. You understand? I really don't. I've been out in the fields, in the trenches, for God's glory. This is what he wants me to do, the hospital. I can't even tell you, I'm like a rubber band right about now. So God's going to move me out of Atlanta for a minute, and I'm coming back. I won't tell you, but I need for you to call me when we get off the phone, okay? And I need you to be a part of what God's going to do. You understand, Pastor?
Yeah.
And it's not about money. It's about the souls. We're soul winners. We are always to impart the word of God when other people can't hear, just like you do the shedding. I call on Sunday. So I need for you to call me when we get off the phone.
Okay.
In Jesus' name.
I'll call you on the number you're calling in the show tonight.
Okay, now, what about you think I can come on tomorrow with Women of God, Daughters of Kings?
Tomorrow's Friday. You want to do a show tomorrow night on Friday?
I'm not going anywhere, Pastor. I'm going to the doctor. I'm not, and nothing wrong with me, Pastor. I got to go get my teeth polished and shined. I got to go minister, pass out what God has brought to this house. I still got a gift for you. I just don't have the money to send it right now. I'm waiting on God to release. Okay? Just like all the stimulus package down here is messed up. They're sending the wrong people, and they got to retrieve all this stuff back. And I can send it when God releases this finance, okay? But I'm not doing nothing tomorrow, Friday night. I'm being sealed like I'm being sealed tonight. He got me sitting now. After yesterday,
okay, well, if you
want to
do a show tomorrow night, well, I'll set it up.
Set it up, Pastor. I'm not going nowhere. I'm telling you, I got to do this. God, this is my call. This ain't just
okay,
to be
well,
on say I do something.
Okay, well, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock your time, just call in, and then you can do a show.
I'm calling in. I already got my. I'm going to pick the phones up. Everything. I got Bibles. He gave me so much, Pastor. It didn't blow my everlasting mind. He gave me more.
Amen.
And more.
Well, we're getting down to the last 3 minutes. Can you give us a? You pray us out?
Yes, sir. We can pray it out. Let's everybody bow our head, take a deep breath, and say Jesus. Oh, great Son, Father, we just glorify and magnify you. We acknowledge you, Father God. And Father God, we come to the grace of God and receive mercy at a time of need, Father God. And we need you every second, every breath we breathe right now, Father God. And Father God, in the land right now, there's many things going on, but we know you are in control. And Father God, you said trust in you. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge you. So, Father, we are not acknowledging the problem. We're going to give every problem and lay it at the feet of you, Jesus. And Father God, we thank you right now. We thank you. And, Father God, the ones that lost loved ones, that COVID-19, Father God, we ask for a mighty move of God, a spiritual healing through the land. And, Father, let them call upon the name. You're faithful and just God, and you can do a season of more we can even ask, Father. And, Father, all the ones in the hospital, cancer, oh, so much, Father, cancer, lymphoma, AIDS, and I can go on and on. But, Father God, we need you to take care of the heir of the next generation. Father God, raise your people up to know who you are, Father God, as we are sitting, waiting on the master. And, Father, you have given us chance after chance. Father, the church is not shut down. We are the church. The building is shut down, but we know who we are. We can call upon you. And, Father God, raise up the body of Christ to be strong, to not look and be fearful, Father God, because you have not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. And, Father, you're fighting all our battles. As you said in 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory has already been won, Father. But, Father God, let us be prepared. Father, you prepare us for anything. Father, let us see dreams, visions right now, Father God. But, Father, as we go out today, Father God, this man of God, I ask you to bless him more abundantly. The young man that helped the homeless person, Father God, bless him, Father God. And, Father God, in every area of their life, finances, the house, whatever you tell them, put their hands, whatever they speak the word of God, Father God. Bless them, Father God, and bless this ministry right now, Father God. And Father God, oh, and the ones that receive Jesus Christ tonight, Father God, we give you glory. We know the angels are rejoicing right now, Father God, and the ones supposed to be in the sheepfold, bring them back home, Father God. If you have 101 leave that sheepfold, you go out for that sheep. But, Father God, we're going to sleep and slumber tonight, Father God. I ask you to send angels encamped all around the body of Christ and your people, Father God. And, Father God, we give you glory. We thank you. We love you. And we believe in every word. And we're standing on your promise because you are awesome and a mighty God. You're omnipresent, omnipotent. In the mighty name of Jesus, I cover with the blood of the Lamb and with my testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is done in Jesus' name.
Amen. Ooh. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, Best Wonder, we're out of time. I'm gonna say I love you. I'll give you a call. I'll give you a call in a few minutes.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. God bless you. Love you.
God bless you. Okay.